So when, as many of you have, people ask me how things are going at Harvard, I am reminded of the old joke of someone who comes back from Israel and they say, so tell me in a word, how was your trip? And he says, good. Two words, not good. And I want you to remember that, good, not good, because we're going to return to it at the end, because actually I don't want to talk about what everybody is already talking about. Instead, I want to give you a lens from Jewish history by which to view what is going on not only on college campuses, but in the world. And it starts, as you might imagine, with the Bible. Because part of the secret of Jewish survival is that we understand what happens on Pesach to be matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shavach, which basically means things start out bad and then you have to make them good. And so we take slavery, which is a bad thing, and we make it the cornerstone of our understanding of what it means to achieve liberation, which is a good thing. And that is not at all unique to the story of Pesach. In fact, if you trace that theme through Jewish history, you discover, for example, that in the original exile, you get masterpieces like Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, I sat and wept. In other words, the psalmist turned tragedy to poetry. And you see this in the second exile. What do the Jews do when they're forced to live in Babylonia instead of Israel? They write the Talmud, which becomes the founding document of rabbinic Judaism. On Yom Kippur, we talk about the martyrdom of the sages in Ela Ezkara, and we remember that the most famous sage who was killed in that terrible time during the Hadrianic persecutions from 132 to 135 that ended Jewish sovereignty in Israel for thousands of years, the most famous sage was Rabbi Akiva, who went through terrible tortures as they killed him. But what did he do? He recited the Shema. And he said, I never understood what it meant to say with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your might. It means even if God takes that, you have to praise God. And that model became the model of saying the Shema as your last prayer. So Rabbi Akiva left a legacy of something of strength and of passion and of faith out of the darkness of persecution. I thought about all this because when I was looking at what would be the Haftarah for today, I noticed something that I had never really thought about before. But any of you who attend Jewish weddings, and I've been to a few, will notice this, which is that the prophet Jeremiah, who lived at the time of the destruction of the first temple, now you have to remember how big a catastrophe this was. We don't have to remember, but you have to imagine, because the state had existed in one form or another in Judah since the time of Saul and David, which means well over 500 years, it's a lot longer than the United States. And the idea that it was destroyed was almost inconceivable. But Jeremiah warned the people and then lived to see the destruction. And he said to them, V'hishpata, V'arei Yehuda v'chutzot Yerushalayim, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chatan v'kol kala. He spoke in the words of God, and what did he say? I will silence joy and celebration in Jerusalem, the voice of the bride and the voice of the groom. In other words, you won't hear that anymore. It will be catastrophe. What do you hear when you go to a wedding. In the Sheva Brachot, we change Jeremiah's first word. And instead we say, Od Yishama Be'arei Yehuda Uvechutzot Jerushalayim. You will still hear in the hills of Judea and the outskirts of Jerusalem the sound of celebration and joy of bride and of groom. We take catastrophe and we turn it to joy. And in the Haftarah that we read this morning, Ezekiel 36, I don't know if you read it along, but it's pretty depressing. God says all sorts of bad things are going to happen, and then it culminates in Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel 37 is the vision of the dry bones. And you know what phrase is in that Haftarah? You know what the prophet says to the people? He says, Avda tikvatenu, our hope is lost. Now, some of you recognize that phrase. Because in the national anthem of Israel, we begin the second verse by taking Ezekiel's phrase that we have lost our hope, and we add to it, just like we did with Jeremiah, and we say, Od lo avda tikvatenu, we have still not lost our hope. In other words, what we do is we reverse the joke. How was your trip? Not good. In one word, good. And all of Jewish history has been not just the attempt, but the consistent turning of darkness into light, of catastrophe into hope, of sadness into joy. The class that I'm teaching at Harvard this semester is called Sources of Jewish Spirituality. And I realized on the flight out here that on Monday, because I'm going back tomorrow morning, on Monday, what I'm teaching is what I should conclude the sermon with today. On Monday, I'm teaching the students there, and I have both Jewish and non-Jewish students in the class. I'm teaching the students there about the Eish Kodesh. The Eish Kodesh's real name was Kalonymus Shapira. The Eish Kodesh is the name that they gave to his writings. It means holy fire. Kalonymus Shapira was the rabbi of the Warsaw Ghetto. And he lived an extraordinarily difficult life. He had a son that he treasured and valued and taught, and his son was killed in the bombing of the ghetto, and he had to summon himself to continue to be the leader of the ghetto despite his sadness. He had other family losses, and then, as you might expect, eventually, he himself was killed in the ghetto and did not survive the war. But what I want to tell you about him is two things that are really quite remarkable. One of the heroes of modern Jewish history was a historian named Emanuel Ringelbaum. And Emanuel Ringelbaum started this project in the ghetto called Oneg Shabbat, right? You know what an Oneg Shabbat is. It's the food that you eat after Shabbos, after the Shabbos service. But Oneg Shabbat for Ringelbaum was what people would see after this was over. And he collected documents from all over the ghetto, what happened, all sorts of documents, and he buried them in three different locations in Poland. And in 1950, that is 5 years after the war, a Polish construction company was digging to make a supermarket. And they found Ringelbaum's can in which he hid documents, including 86 drashot, 86 comments on the Parsha from the Eish Kodesh that he had given to Ringelbaum in the hopes that it would survive the war, because I think he knew that he would not. And what we know of this man and his writings and his spirit are from those 86 drashot that were preserved in a canister and miraculously recovered after the war. And I want to read you one little selection that comes to us from 1943 or 44 from the Warsaw Ghetto. In the face of death and bereavement, wrote the Eish Kodesh, I found the strength to rejoice and been honored to inspire others to joy as well. When others have seen my self-possession and joy in the face of great troubles, they found inner strength in the face of their own troubles. Through my example, this inner strengthening will have the effect of turning evil into good. If you feel inspired by the Eish Kodesh's words, then he's right. From not good to good, from darkness to light, from slavery to freedom. If you want to know how to view what's happening now, just remember, we have seen this before. We have done this before. We know how to turn what is bad into what will be good. It isn't quick, and it isn't easy, but as the Eish Kodesh reminds us, it is God's will, and it is sure. Shabbat Shalom.